Home of the Twins, just chatting with Jason and Dan. They're headed over for their show at Target Field. Twins and Angels tonight. Pregame begins at 6. First pitch, 6:40. What a beautiful night to check out Twins baseball. We spent a lot of time today, rightfully so, talking about last night's debate with former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. Continue the conversation. Frequent guest of this show, former Republican Congressman Vin Weber is with us. Vin is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Vin, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Lifelong Republican that you are. You have also expressed some areas where you clearly disagree with Donald Trump, but on policy positions, you still definitely are a Republican. Do you believe your party is in a better or worse chance to win the election off last night's debate?
Hey, Chad. Great to be with you as always. Go Twins. I think that they're in a slightly poorer position after last night. I didn't know what to predict going into it. I thought it through in my mind, what does Trump have to do? What does Harris have to do? And I think that the way I would put it is, Kamala Harris did the minimum that she had to do, and Trump did not. So I give her a little advantage, but I don't think it's a home run. I don't think it's a decisive thing. I don't think the election's over, but I do think that she enhanced her position and Trump did not.
Clearly part of what she was trying to do then, and maybe she was going to try it out early and go away from it. Maybe she was going to try it the whole day. I have no idea. Was to get him going, to bait him.
Yep.
Crowds, other things where he brags about those aspects of his life, of his presidency, and to agitate him. And it worked. I mean, he grew angry. He grew frustrated. That's a bit of Trump, right? Did you expect that? Because for me, when people say it's going to be a disciplined Donald Trump, I'm still waiting to see that. He's not going to reinvent himself all the time. And I'm kind of conflicted here because I knew he'd react somewhat. But to be honest, I didn't think he'd react as forcefully and as continually as he did.
I think you've got that about right, and I think you've got her strategy right. They were determined. We heard stories about this for days coming up to the debate, that her strategy was going to be to needle him, get under his skin, get on him about his criminal convictions and the January 6th and his all the other stuff. And she did that, and she did it obviously successfully because he was not disciplined enough to respond well to it. And I think that hurt him. The only thing I would say is I disagree with her strategists if they thought that was all she needed to do, because she still has the job of reintroducing herself to the American public and dispelling some of the questions about her flip-flops on issues, her past left-wing stances on issues, and whether or not she is strong enough to lead America on the world stage. I don't think she did that. I think she got under Trump's skin. She caused him to react badly. The next thing, which is to say, and here's why you should be comfortable with me if you're an undecided voter.
Okay, so let's stay with that part of her positions. And I get it, and I've made this point before, too, that Donald Trump has changed on positions. But this part for her is a bigger part of the story, because if you look at where she stood on parts of immigration, Medicare for all, fracking, and multiple other issues in 2019, and really some of her time as a senator, she was a classic liberal, and she was out there, right? When she was the attorney general,
she had a more liberal record than Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, in one ranking, although I think Sanders and Elizabeth Warren say, I'm not sure we're buying that, but yes, you're 100% right.
Okay.
There is a ranking where she's out there. As attorney general, I think there are a lot of people felt like she was more of a centrist in that area. But she's moved.
Yep.
Okay. She's moved all of a sudden. As soon as Joe Biden jumped out of the race, she moved. I thought that was an area where Trump should have been beating that into the ground last night, because you're really not just appealing to your base. You've got them. You're not appealing to Harris's diehard base. She's got them. But the few undecideds out there who really probably want no part of her positions, if she goes back to her 2019 positions, I thought Trump should have brought that up over and over and over again.
Oh, you're totally right. First of all, it's on her change of positions. First, everybody that runs for office, including me when I was in office, you change positions on some things. Sometimes it's because you learn new facts. Sometimes it's because you just adjust to the political reality, which means what your voters want.
Right.
But the suddenness and systematic level of change she made so quickly and so, as I said, systematically right after Biden got out, really ought to give Trump a lot of fodder to talk about. Is this real? Do we really believe this? Or does it lead us to question we don't know anything about who she really is? But back to our earlier point, she successfully goaded him in a number of ways and took advantage of his foibles so that he didn't take advantage of that issue. He should have. You're totally right about that. And that's one of the reasons she won the debate last night, is because she managed to figure out how to prevent him from going after her weaknesses.
Yeah, she was orchestrating. It was really a debate more about her, and the best thing she did was agitate Trump. Congressman Vin Weber, former congressman, Republican with us, is 14 past two. I've made this point multiple times on the show, but I want to bring it up again to you. We know Donald Trump often, when he's asked specific questions, will go all over the place. I got it. But I want to say this about Harris. If David Muir and Lindsey Davis are fact-checking Donald Trump, and because he lies at such a stunning rate, he can be fact-checked. Now, sometimes people just decide they're not going to do that. Dana Bash and Jake Tapper said that's up to Joe Biden to do it, or that's up for other people to judge that. But if you're going to fact-check Trump, which they did, there were three specific times on key points where Harris didn't even come close to answering questions. And I'm not saying Trump directly answered all of them. I'm far from saying that. But opening question, explain to voters why they're better off now than they were 4 years ago. Just an attack on Trump.
Right.
On immigration and the fact that numbers are down this summer after your executive order, well, why didn't you do that 3.5 years ago? Attack on Trump. On Afghanistan, considering we just honored the 13 who were killed in what was just a disastrous departure by the Biden-Harris administration. Again, just an attack on Trump. And some of these answers, there were valid points of criticism of Trump, but not answers. And I felt like this is where Trump supporters were saying, wait, if you're going to fact check my guy, and he gives them a lot of chances to, then really you should also follow up. Because when Trump didn't answer an Obamacare, David Muir followed up. I think it was David or was it Lindsay? I forget. Do you want to answer the question? I think that's where Harris should have had that follow-up, and that's why some Trump folks should be bothered about that.
Well, they are. I mean, the Republicans across the board, including those that are not very close to Trump, are very bothered about it. And I would go a step further. I just think that David and Davis did a disservice not just to the public on voting, but to the media. I mean, it's not a good thing that you see, and you've seen it, I'm sure, Chad, the polls show continually declining confidence that the American people have in the media. That's not a good thing. If we don't have base confidence in our institutions, media, business, labor, government, you name it, the country's in trouble. And I think what they did last night, this is not so much a pro-Trump thing or an anti-Harris thing. I think that they undermine further the credibility of a media that is going through a credibility crisis.
Finn Weber with us. A couple more points and we'll let you go. I think this is another area where Trump, he pushed it a couple times, but they need to keep pushing it. When Kamala Harris suggests she's an agent of change, I don't know how a present vice president can say you're an agent of change. If you want to say, I believe our policies are better, if you want to point out where you have notable differences with Joe Biden, point him out. But as someone, and I'm not here as a big Trump supporter, I'm making that clear. But if you're in the administration that's in charge right now, I don't see how you can say I'm the person for change and we're not going back.
Yeah, and it sort of begs the question of, all right, if you are going to be changing, first of all, as you point out, we should say, why are you trying to change? Because you've been part of this for the last 3.5 years. But what is the change you're proposing? And that's where you get into this flip-flop question. I don't think that the American people have or will have by Election Day any idea of what Kamala Harris will be like as president of the United States, other than her record of the last 3.5 years, because everything else is inconsistent with this notion that she's the agent of change. And that's not a good thing. I mean, maybe that's their strategy, because, you know, half the country just hates Trump. And maybe they're counting on, we're going to obscure all the rest of this stuff, and we're going to try to obfuscate on questions like, what kind of a change am I going to bring, and why am I a change from the administration that I've been part of for 3.5 years? We'll just get beyond that and count on people to vote because they hate Trump. That might work, but it's not a good strategy.
The Harris folks, who were evasive on a second debate before this debate, about 2 seconds after the debate ended, said, hey, how about another debate? Not only in the spin room where Trump went to, which was a bit odd, then I'm with Sean Hannity, then I'm with Fox and Friends today, he was evasive. I'm going to say this, and I want to see if you agree. I'm going to guarantee we have a second debate, because Trump does not want to be positioned in any way that he wasn't willing to meet her once again. And he's going to have enough people saying to him that you can do a better job. I believe a second debate is absolutely going to happen. What do you think?
I completely agree, because there are big question marks over both of these candidates. Is Trump really stable? Is Trump going to be? Is Harris the continuation of the last administration, or is she going to be different? And so those are big questions, and they're still unresolved. So I think that the candidate that says no to a debate is going to tell that important but small group of undecided swing voters, you cannot trust me on those questions. And that's why they won't do it. They'll go with the debate, and we'll see what happens.
Vin, thanks so much. I keep it a little bit longer, but the phone's breaking up. We'll reach out again, and I appreciate you always coming on. And then the phone broke up again. Former Congressman Vin Weber with us. A lot of texts coming in. Give me your thoughts on Lester. I've talked about it at the start. I talked about it with Dean Phillips. I talked about it with Vin Weber just now. I've made my points. With Trump, he's going to lie. And a lot of politicians do. Most politicians do. I just think he's at a different level. So if you're a moderator and you're going to step in, then I think you have to follow up with him when he doesn't answer, as they did with the Obamacare answer, when he said he has a concept of a plan. 9 years in, you have a concept of plan, head shaking. But then when she completely punts on answers, then that's up to Muir and Davis to say, once again, Madam Vice President, the question was this, and they should have done it. When we're honestly eating cats and dogs, and just because two or three people said it, and then all of a sudden it's a meme or it's out there, there's zero proof of this. None, zero, zilch. Okay? Some geese have disappeared. I don't want tubs. I don't want geese to be eaten. I gotta be honest. I'd feel better without some geese around.
Have you ever had goose? I mean, goose is good.
I just don't want the geese around me.
Oh, that's
they're
fair.
Geese. They're annoying. I don't want them tortured
they're
and killed.
They're dangerous.
Okay.
They're mean. Geese are mean.
I gotta be honest. I won't miss them. But the fact a president of the bleeping United States before and a former president is literally saying that in a presidential debate is staggering. If I would have told any one of us 10 years ago We're going to have a former president who pulled off a great upset, because he did. Then lost, and he did, by the way. And then he's running again, and he's going to bring up, and by the way, there's racism a part of this, too. Don't act like there's not. Eating dogs and cats and just get caught in the weeds.
It's insane.
It is insane. If you want to go after her, there's a lot of material. And again, you're not swaying those folks who already are voting for. Go after the moderates, the centrists, the undecideds on her and her changing positions, or how are you an agent of change? And no, there is. But cats and dogs eating them? Absolutely bizarre. Do you agree with me that a second debate is going to happen? I'm going 100% a second debate is going to happen. A lot of texts already coming in. What do you want to say? Something different about the debate. That is available to you. 651-461-9226. We're going to talk 23 years ago, obviously this, September 11th. We'll do that. Leading up to the top, lots of texts coming in, though. Always appreciate that. StylesFinancial.com talk and text lines. 651-461-9226. Can Republicans switch candidates mid-election like the Dems? Bring on Nikki. He didn't even ask the VP how many votes she got in the primary. He was rambling. He played the hits only. We were just talking about this a little bit off air. He is a phenomenon. There's no denying that off the trip down the escalator. I mean, he'd flirted with running so many times before. You know, in New York City, larger-than-life figure, cartoonish, The Apprentice, the bankruptcy, the huge money, the attractive women, the late night shows. And then he goes into that Republican primary and just blows away the field. But he, and there's a lot of this now. He's not the only one, but he's the leader. Everything he says, or I want to say everything, 90 to 95% of what he says, he's speaking to the folks he already has. And now, he was going to blow away Joe Biden. He would have won in a landslide. But now, it's closer because Democrats want to feel like they've got a person to vote for when they weren't enthused at all. Me, personally, I would have preferred three or four candidates in there with Harris. Have a little more of democracy than just we're pointing the finger at her. That would have been my preference by far. But when you have, I don't know, the 250,000 people, the 150,000 who are going to decide it, who live somewhere in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, when you're telling us about eating cats and dogs and you can't tell us if you want Ukraine to win the war, and when you're telling us you won the election, it's not appealing to those folks at all. But he's going to come back and say, hey, I won in 16. I won in 20. He didn't. And I've lived this great life. Here's another one. What about Trump saying Biden hates Harris? That he can't stand her. Again, one of his, I'm going to tell you a little secret in front of, like, I don't know, 50 million people. Biden hates her. Now, you almost always, Chris, have reporting about dissension between president and vice president. I think we know it's not really great with Mike Pence and Donald Trump now, but during their time, it was Mike just genuflecting behind him. I mean, just looking like he was in love with the man. But there were plenty of reports about Biden feeling slighted by the Obama folks throughout that presidency. And there have been reports about Biden and Harris, not as much those two, but their camps. But again, how about him saying she hates Israel? Minor point. Her husband is Jewish. Her stepchildren are Jewish. And there's nothing in her voting record that says that. And her answer, again, on Gaza and Israel and Hamas was a nuanced, reasonable answer. Let's see if she lives up to it if she becomes president. But the idea that you're some supporter of Israel and the answer she's given or anything in her personal background or professional background should make you think, oh, Israel's going to be wiped off the map, as Donald said. Come on. More text. I didn't think the motorist did a good job stopping Donald from having extra airtime on his rebuttals. Well, let's get to that part because we haven't talked about that all show. So much for the mics being off. And again, it's not easy.
They turned it back on. I mean, Trump would start talking, and then they turned it back on.
He did more, but she did also.
She did, too. Yeah, but you would be like, okay, well, we've got another topic that we have to get into, and you'd hear it. And then I felt like there was an obligation that they had to turn the mic on. You could have just left it off, and the moderators could have just moved on instead of continuing to belittle that point.
It's a very difficult situation if you're moderating a presidential debate. Listen, on my own, hold on, let me put my shoulder back in socket, moderated governor's debate, multiple congressional debates. Even at the lower level, it's not easy. A city council debate. Now, if it's Carter and Jimmy Francis, it's a scam, and they're running for mayor and they're running a game on you. So good luck if you're in South St.
Paul. Now, that's a con.
That's a con. That's a con, and it clearly was.
Carney stuff.
So it's not easy to cut people off. But if it considered became such an issue, mic on, mic off, they just kind of let them run right through that thing. So guess what? When there is a second presidential debate, and there's going to be, enough of the mic off, okay? That's not going to happen. Somebody's saying the second debate is the vice presidential debate. We know that. We were talking about another presidential debate. Somebody's saying Vin Weber should be held responsible, partially responsible. The extremism of the current Republican Party. Vin Weber, an absolute conservative, he's been out of politics for a fair amount of time. He hasn't exactly ever come out as a big Trump supporter, but he's absolutely a Republican. So are we going to say every time someone on the left, if it's Ilhan or Ayanna Pressley or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that any Democrat has to own that responsibility? Yeah, there's plenty of things that Weber has to be responsible for. But every aspect of the extremism of the party, I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. That's probably just somebody who's a lefty and just doesn't agree with Vin Weber. 35 past 2. When you think of 9/11, whether it's the actual day 23 years ago, or you think about what has happened to our country since September 11th in the morning, and thousands of people murdered, callously, cruelly murdered. What first comes to mind? Text me, 651-461-9226. Many leave brings you this forecast, 81, beautiful. Couple last points, too. Now a texter is pointing out another crazy conspiracy theory that Harris had among her earrings, a communication device. They were talking to her. We haven't talked Taylor. We probably should have talked Taylor earlier. She endorsed Biden and Harris in 2020, so this is not a surprise. It's good timing for them. Is it a significant factor? I don't think so. I'd take her. She's the biggest celebrity on the planet, so of course. But the folks who are undecided, did Taylor tip them over? No. Can it create more fundraising, other things, but actual votes? No. I don't think any really endorsement matters that much on votes.
No. How many people out there are going to, like, well, so-and-so endorses so-and-so? It's like Taylor Swift, Kevin Sorbo, whoever it is. Like, it doesn't matter.
I don't think they're real close right now, bigger influencer, Kevin Sorbo or Taylor Swift. 9/11 talk next. Okay, so when you think of that horrifying day which murdered thousands of people, what comes to mind? I want to just go to text right away, and I'll chime in. I want you to chime in too, Chris. 651-461-9226. Worked near the airport. As I left work, I remember how quiet it was where no planes were taking off or landing. Days. Think about it. days. Think about the few planes that were in the air on that Tuesday as they're trying to bring them all down. I think we've forgotten what happened. It's too soon to be a news blur, but we're too divided to remember. Yeah, I'm going to comment on some of these. I keep reading them. We never, ever should wish we need to have a day like that to bring us together. But it did. And W, who Democrats were very unhappy with how he had won the race, from the bullhorn speech to the speech to Congress a couple weeks later, people were willing to step forward. And I don't think the collective we that's on all of us, me included, and the government reaching out to us, found a way for all of us to stay involved. Because clearly hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people went into battle and gave their lives, injured, PTSD, you name it, came back a changed person. But that is still such a small percentage. And there were ways where individually, collectively, local governments, state governments, federal government, where I think we should have found a way to get us all volunteering, to alter in our lives, which may have kept us more together. Because if you listen to the show over the years, you know where I stand. And I think the pandemic proved it to a certain level. Another attack, even close to that, and I don't think we come together in any way close to how we came together 9/11.
No.
Think about quickly the pandemic, which killed 1.2 million Americans. Killed them. And yes, there was a higher chance if you were sick, if you're older, vulnerable. By the way, when that's your mom, that's your grandma, that's your wife, that's your dad, that's your husband, they still matter. And within days, weeks, it was conspiracy out to get us. If this happened today, it would be within hours. Joe Biden, too old, fell asleep. If it happened, if Trump wins, it would be, well, he's cozying up to Orban and Putin. He's not capable. And should we have a full investigation if it happened again? God forbid. But yeah. But we're not even anywhere near as close, but, or the capability of being close. And we just had in 2000 a highly controversial and debatable decision on Bush v. Gore.
Well, and if something like that happened today, one political party would point the finger at the other one saying they were responsible for it. They were directly influencing. So I don't think we will ever get back to that point. And that, and it's very disheartening. And I think I've said that word a few times today. But you saw for the one time we were able to put everything aside. We will never be able to fully put any bias or any sort of, there's a conspiracy with anything and everything nowadays, no matter what it is.
Eating dogs and cats, any earpiece. Let's point this out. If you would have asked all of us 3-4 days after, when we were reeling, and we were thinking that not only was this event about as awful as it could get, that this was the new America, and that, sadly, more attacks would take place. And there are acts of terrorism frequently across the globe. But the version of war on terror and a significant attack on the United States, on our soil, has not happened. Have our soldiers and other individuals outside this country been killed? Absolutely. And for them, may their memory be a blessing. But 1,000 people killed. Something like that. So to the intelligence who has stopped that when the attempts must be out there on a regular basis. Thank you so much. Because I don't think anybody would have thought 23 years after. And I don't think anybody's convinced maybe it'll happen tomorrow or 2 weeks from now. Again, let's all hope it doesn't happen. But pretty incredible. And TSA and how that changed. And again, don't fly nearly as much as I do. It drives me nuts when people pay no attention to what the TSA are saying over and over and over again. And walk up there, oh, shoes? Liquid? My laptop? What, a coat?
It's an inconvenience now. Whereas 20 years ago, we would have been all about it. Now it's like, well, why are you bothering me?
A lot of people, honestly, brutally, act like jackasses out there. Don't take any time to listen and then are obstinate about it. Today, again, seeing the family members, reading the names. Every time, if you watch that, it gets you. I'm reading texts here, too. The individuals who jumped out of a tower where the fire was so painful and the option was you were going to burn to death. And you made the decision, I'm going to jump from 100 stories up in the air. I still think, and I mention this probably every year, when I think of family members in the immediate days and days after would go down to the World Trade Center and hold up a picture of their son, their daughter, their husband, their wife, their friend. Have you seen this person? They were hoping against hope that someone would appear. And very, very few times it happened. But who could fault them for 1 second? You are in an emotional state that you never envision. And you're just hoping for a miracle. More of your texts, a little bit of Jason. He'll lead us up to his show. And again, broadcasting from Target Field. I'm sure they'll get into a little September 11th. They'll get into the debate, but also talk a little Twins baseball here in the home of the Twins, CCO. Linda's Construction Time Check is 254. Time to replace your old windows with Infinity from Marvin and get free installation labor. Jason's here from Target Field. If I say you have to tell me one memory from September 11th, and I know you have dozens and dozens, but one, what is it?
I was a reporter in Milwaukee, and my wife called me. She was at work when the first plane hit, working at a bank. A corporate office, so there were, you know, CNBC and everything all over the place. So I turned on the TV, Good Morning America, and I saw the second plane live hit the tower. And it's seared in my mind. I can remember just about every moment of that day.
Yep.
And I was doing stories for TV that never went on the air because they were in Peter Jennings' coverage all night.
Right.
But people lined up at gas stations because they were afraid.
Yes.
Remember? People thought gas was going to be $6 a gallon or whatever. No.
It's easy to look at that now and say, what were these people thinking? People didn't know.
People wanted to take some concrete action, and that was available, right?
Right.
We all felt so helpless.
Show today. You got a lot of material. You have an excellent location. What's coming up?
We got Chris Elizzo with a little bit of debate reaction.
Good.
I have a bit of counterintuitive debate take that we'll start with at 3 o'clock.
Trump dominating?
Falvey. I think Trump actually won the debate in an unusual sort of way.
Okay. Apparently some cannabis consumed on the way to the ballpark. No problem.
I'll explain.
I'll be listening.
3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then Falvey at 3:35, Justin Morneau at 4 o'clock, and should be good stuff.
Very good, sir. Are you sticking around for the ball game? Or are you bolting right away?
I actually have my meeting for my Colette trip to Portugal.
La-di-da. La-di-da.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be Jason Tubbsy, right?
Not bad.
I mean, you're at the ballpark. You go to Portugal.
I know. I know. You don't hear me complaining.
No.
I will be honest about that.
Enjoy it, sir.
Thank you.
Jason is next. We're back with you tomorrow. Enjoy the afternoon. Give us a follow on the Twitter machine at Chad Hartman Show, and also check out those podcasts anywhere you get them. Same name. Have a great afternoon, everybody.